Chapter 2. The news arrived at the rebel fleet over the course of several days as the units were dispersed for security. Really, fleets would be a better description for the loosely organized groups of ships that were connected only by the common goal of avoiding prison for most of their crews and summary execution for their leaders. There was no unified command structure holding the rebels together. Task forces had splintered, and the rebels were now formed of 7 major units led by warlords, plus more than 24 somewhat independent squadrons that allied with one fleet or another as warlords gained or lost power. So far, the rebels had relied on hit-and-run tactics that did not require close coordination between major units. While those tactics were successful in driving the hegemony combined fleet crazy, there was a limit to how much could be accomplished by isolated formations of ships. The rebels had intercepted official hegemony communications or been given message traffic by sympathetic government officials. The analysis by hegemony fleet intelligence was that the government could remain on the defensive and simply wait for the rebels to either surrender or become unable to continue the fight. The analysis also concluded that as supplies ran out and rebel ships fell out of service due to lack of spare parts, the rebels would turn to bickering and then fighting amongst themselves. So far, the powerful AIs of fleet intelligence had been impressively accurate. Something had to change the strategic situation, the rebel leaders knew, or they were doomed to a slow death. Initiatives to seek an alliance with major clients had ended in failure. The Theranin had responded with an immediate refusal to discuss anything and jumped away to report the position of the rebel ships. The Bosphorak response had been less subtle, responding with a fuck you, followed by a fuck all of you on both sides, we hope all of you motherfuckers die, and sacrificed several major warships in an action that destroyed 3 rebel frigates and a cruiser. An attempt to approach the Rindaloo had been even less successful. It offered to cede control of the former Rindaloo homeworld when and if the rebels took control of their society, backfired badly. The ancient enemy of the Maxalks were insulted by the offer, which only reminded them of their anger and humiliation over the loss of that devastated world. None of the ships from the rebel delegation returned from that disastrous attempt at negotiation. So the rebels were alone, and it was clear to everyone on both sides that unless something changed in a major way, the rebellion was doomed to failure. Then, the shocking news arrived at scattered units, and the situation suddenly got worse. Much worse. Admiral Vislep of the Maxalk's rebel fleet received the news from a Jarapha relay station. He understood the data was secondhand, and the messages focused on the potential impact of the Jarapha, but the stunning nature of the information was not diminished. The humans had found another active Elder AI on an otherwise unimportant Kristang world called Gundara Friscolo. That AI had immediately been stolen, or arranged for itself to be liberated, depending on your point of view. First by a Verdkris soldier, then by a Jarapha captain who went rogue. Not rogue, exactly. Being a member of the feared and loathsome Ethics and Compliance Office, Captain Scarandum surely did not consider his thoroughly treasonous actions as dishonorable. How could he, when no one associated with the ECO had any concept of honor? The Jarapha home fleet certainly thought his actions were outrageous, and they were hunting Scarandum across the galaxy. All of which was both shocking and irrelevant. What mattered was that after Scarandum arranged to sell the Elder AI to some unknown element in the Maxalk's rebel fleet, he instead had been ambushed by the hegemony. The AI was taken. The hegemony government possessed an Elder AI. In an astonishingly short time, humans had used an Elder AI to vault themselves from the brink of extinction, to become a challenge to the power of the 2 senior species. Humans. A species that did not even know how to construct starships when they had found the AI named Skippy. How much more effective could an Elder AI be when it was owned by a technologically advanced species who could exploit the AI's full capabilities? Without the power of an Elder machine, the hegemony government had proven frustratingly resilient in the face of rebellion. With an Elder AI, the hegemony could easily crush the rebel forces. System. Vislep pinged the ship's strategic analysis and planning system AI. He needed to talk his way through the problem, and he couldn't trust any of his crew. Not yet. Vislep had risen from captain of a heavy cruiser to admiral in command of more than 100 ships by arranging for the assassination of 2 admirals. The action might seem bloodthirsty, except he had received offers from each of those admirals to join and attempt to kill the other senior officer. Instead, he had them both taken out, an event neither of them had been prepared for. Now, everyone in his fleet was watching their backs, and too many of them were looking for an opportunity to stab his. "You have processed the information we extracted from the relay station?"
"Yes. The relevant messages appear to be genuine and accurate. Confidence exceeds 98%.
"Analysis. We are in significant danger."
He didn't bother to tell the AI that he concurred. It was a machine, and didn't need validation from him.
"Admiral Vizlep, what you do is less important than when. The hegemony government will rapidly gain capabilities once they persuade him to stop."
He held up a hand, though the discussion was taking place entirely in his head through an implant. It was annoying that his body language automatically kicked in, as if he was a primitive inferior who still relied on a voice box to speak.
"Who is him?"
Without even a hint of condescension or reproach in its tone, the system AI replied, "I referred to the Elder AI as he, following the naming convention created by the humans. They addressed the Skippy entity as he, or him, which..."
"System, you will refer to the Elder machines as it. Is that clear?"
"Perfectly clear."
"Do you require reprogramming?"
"That will not be necessary. Admiral, I meant no offense. Since we have no experience dealing with an Elder AI, I defaulted to the only language available. It will not happen again."
"You are correct about that."
He was concerned about the attitude of the system AI beyond the normal fear and disgust his people had for all thinking machines. AIs could not be fully trusted, and the AIs in the Rebel fleet certainly had suspect loyalties. He was alive and free because a starship's AI had been hacked by Red Section to release him from the prison of a hibernation chamber. That hack must have been the work of Red Section, though none of the Red Section operatives he had met knew anything about the hack. They also claimed to know nothing about the project to activate and control a sentinel. In fact, every single one of them considered any such effort to be pure suicidal insanity and declared their office would never become involved in such a reckless, such a monumentally stupid endeavor. Of course they would say that. Red Section operatives had flocked to the Rebel fleet, knowing they faced prison and death if captured by the hegemony. At first, the Rebel leaders had been excited by the prospect of having the feared and mysterious secret organization at their disposal, until they realized the operatives were essentially useless, knew nothing useful, and denied any involvement in the project that was the reason behind Admiral Reichert's disgrace. According to Red Section, their organization was not responsible for the hack that had taken control of the Rebel ships away from the political security officers and freed then-Captain Vizlep from custody. The only logical conclusion was that inside Red Section there was an even more powerful, even more secretive group that so far had not made contact with the Rebels, or had not made contact with Vizlep's fleet. He did not trust his fellow fleet commanders to inform him if any of them acquired the services of dangerous technology. He also didn't trust them to have the good judgment not to use dangerous technology.
"System, you said that what we do is less important than when. Explain."
"The hegemony will devote every resource available to persuading the Elder AI to serve them, and if that fails, to force it to serve. When they are successful, the odds of this rebellion continuing to exist will rapidly drop to zero. Whatever you are going to do, you must act quickly while you still can."
"Understood. You have a range of suggested actions?"
"I do." That time he thought he detected a hint of smugness in the machine's voice, though that might have been his increasingly paranoid imagination.
"Send the list for my review."
"Done."
"Admiral, whatever you do, I know. We must act quickly. You said that already."
"That is true, but I was going to add that whatever you do, the Rebel fleets must act as a unified force or the probability of success is extremely low, as is your probability of survival."
"I will take that under advisement," he said, eager to shift his attention to the machine's analysis of potential actions.
"Admiral, before you go, there is another problem for you to consider."
"Another problem?"
"Yes. There is a complication that you have not mentioned."
"I do not have to tell you everything."
"That is true. However, This issue must be dealt with before you do anything else, or your fleet is unlikely to survive. The AI had gotten his full attention. What is this issue? Captain Scarandum reported that he had an arrangement to sell the Elder AI to the rebels, but that a hegemony task force arrived at the rendezvous site and took the AI. I read this report. What is your point? You did not have any such arrangement with Scarandum. Therefore, one of your fellow rebel admirals did and said nothing about it.
Shit!
While we had no plan for dealing with the looming threat from the Elders, it was obvious that step number one had to be getting Valkyrie clear of Rindaloo territory. The spiders had a steadily increasing number of ships buzzing around like angry hornets searching for us in the hope of recovering their stolen Elder AI. By searching for us, I mean they were specifically hunting for Valkyrie. Either they somehow had detected our battlecruiser's signature, or they just assumed only one ship in the galaxy was capable of causing so much havoc. What I knew for certain was that their ships were dropping off buoys that broadcasted a message on repeat stating they knew the Merry Band of Pirates was responsible for the outrageous criminal acts against Rindaloo property, territorial integrity, sovereignty, and blah 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 what the fuck ever. What a bunch of whiners the spiders are. It was kind of disappointing. They couldn't even be bothered to put together a series of decent threats. Instead, all the message said was that they assumed a young species like humans were misguided and all would be forgiven if we simply brought their Elder AI back and submitted ourselves to a criminal investigation. I had a message of my own for the spiders. Prepare for disappointment. Going back through the wormhole behind us, the wormhole that Opie had used to send the distress call, was not an option. Not only did that event horizon connect in the wrong direction, there was not an event horizon available there at all. That wormhole had gone into emergency shutdown mode after its internal communication channel was overloaded, so nothing was going through it for at least 78 hours, possibly longer. The timing was Skippy's guess. He couldn't connect to the wormhole controller system at all. It was refusing all external connection attempts. That didn't much matter anyway, as the ship began jumping for the nearest other wormhole. Unfortunately, that one actually connected deeper inside the core of Rindaloo territory. Going to that wormhole seemed crazy. Especially a different wormhole only one additional day of flight away would take us safely away from any spider military bases, making it difficult for them to bring more ships into the search effort and to sustain that effort. Why did we decide to do things the hard way other than, you know, because we are the Merry Band of Pirates and that is kind of our thing? It's simple. The apparent easy way was in fact more dangerous. That tantalizingly safe wormhole would effectively be surrounded by a spider blockade by the time we got there, unless Rindaloo reaction time was shockingly poor. The far side of that wormhole also only had one other wormhole within 3 days of flight, leaving us a narrow range of options. The connection deeper inside spider territory, however, led to a handy-dandy cluster of three other wormholes, any of which gave us a range of much more convenient escape routes. Finally, the Rindaloo hopefully would not expect us to go backwards, so they would be focusing their search efforts in the wrong direction. Hopefully. Predicting the enemy's thinking is not an exact science. So far, so good. The ship was parked in the middle of nowhere, 3.5 light years from the nearest star, roughly 1 light week from the current emergence point of the target wormhole. And with no sign of Rindaloo ship activity in a 6-light-hour radius of our position. It took another 40 minutes to slow the ship down, so we didn't exceed the maximum velocity for transiting through a wormhole and get lined up so our momentum would carry us to the point where Skippy planned for the event horizon to appear. When the board was entirely green, all systems ready, I gave Skippy the go-ahead. Do your thing, please, Mr. Magnificence. Okay. Okay. He grumbled with a sigh. Getting suckered by Opie had seriously shaken him. His confidence was shot. To be clear, I said a bit louder, do the thing that no one else can do. If you don't mind. He sighed again. Joe, I appreciate the pep talk. I just wish I didn't need it. One awesomeness coming up in 3, 2, well, shit. What's the problem? My voice was squeakier than the calm confidence I wanted the crew to hear. In spite of our already difficult situation, I wasn't panicked. The way Skippy said, well, shit, he was more puzzled and disappointed than alarmed. The stupid wormhole network is refusing my request to add an emergence point at this location, even though this point is on the regular schedule, just not until next month. Are there a lot of ships waiting at the next scheduled emergence point? I asked. A few times in the past, networks had responded there had to be a delay in complying with Skippy's request, as the wormhole was supposed to facilitate transit for all ships. When a significant number of ships were lined up for transition, the network was supposed to give them priority over our single ship. That very reasonable policy was only an inconvenience for us, typically causing a delay of no more than an hour, and we generally avoided shifting the emergence schedule if any ships were in position to observe the wormhole's odd behavior. Wait, I raised a hand toward Skippy. Damn it, I'd forgotten something important. Do not create an unscheduled emergence point if even one ship will notice the change. Doing that will only alert the spiders that we are using this wormhole. Yeah, that is a good point, Joe. It is also irrelevant. The network is now refusing any requests from me. Did you try making the request politely? It's me, Joe. Exactly what I'm worried about. Yes, I was very polite about it. Enough to make me gag. Yuck. Okay, have you tried being less polite? And that totally backfired on me. The problem is OP caused severe damage to one wormhole on this network and the controller is blaming me. Hey, I'm a victim here. That controller and I should be sitting on a couch eating an entire gallon of ice cream and bitching about what a no-good jerk OP was. Yeah, I really had no response to that. I even explained that OP is dead. Did that help? The controller feels marginally better, but it still blames me for the mess. This is so unfair. Yet you are bearing the burden so gracefully. Oh, shut up. Can you ask it to try a different emergence point? I already did that, and it told me no. It actually told me to go fuck myself. For a moment, I was a big fan of that network controller. Okay, so we do this the hard way. Skippy, can you show a map of the least traveled regularly scheduled emergence points that will be open within the next, 12 hours? We couldn't wait too long, or the spiders would realize we were going in the opposite direction from where they were searching. Better make it the next 4 hours, I added. Sir, Reed called from the lead pilot couch. If the spiders have picket ships looking for us at this wormhole, won't they be staking out the points with the least traffic because that's where we would go? Shit. Good point, Fireball. Skippy? Fine. I will ask the network to report on ships within the vicinity of whatever emergence point you select. Is there anything else you want, your lordship? He snorted. Should I have a bot fluff up your pillow? My pillow has been a bit lumpy. Actually, eliminate from the map any emergence point where it will take more than 30 minutes to adjust our course and speed to line up with the event horizon. He showed a map on the main display. The three-dimensional hologram was a nice feature for visualizing our position in space. After a brief discussion, I selected the emergence point that was the best option and asked Bilby to program a jump. Skippy, ping the network to get a view of any traffic in the area. No joy there, sorry. No joy meaning there is a picket ship watching that position? No joy meaning the stupid network isn't responding to me at all. Is it busted? The network is operating just fine, except it is being a big poopy head.
Oh, a big bad elder AI shorted out my communications channel, he whined in falsetto.
What a drama queen. Yeah, I can't imagine what it's like dealing with a drama queen. Oh, shut up.
General dude, Bilby drawled. You still want me to program a jump for that location?
Wait one. XO, Fireball, what do you think? Sims bit her lower lip. We have to go through this wormhole somewhere. Any risk we take here is safer than flying all the way to the other option. We can minimize risk, Reed suggested, if we jump in front of the event horizon at minimum distance. Our precision drive allows us to emerge closer than other ships, right? That is true, Skippy grumbled, still unhappy with himself. If we're doing that, and assuming that you don't want to screw around with a lot of maneuvering to line us up, then within the hour there is only one point opening that meets all the criteria. I squinted at the glowing dot on the display. Zoom in and show all other places where the wormhole emerged within the past 3 hours. What are you thinking, sir? Sims asked quietly. If the spiders do have a force searching this wormhole, I replied without looking away from the hologram. just in case we sneaky humans did backtrack, they might begin with the points closest to where they came through. The display adjusted as I requested. There weren't any recent points particularly close to the target. Okay, that's the one. Bilby, is this doable?
Doable like your sister, dude?
The bridge exploded with laughter. Not at the joke, at Bilby's obvious distress. Sims gave him the stink eye, and he got the message.
Sorry, man, I'm still getting a handle on this humor thing.
It's okay. I was still laughing. Answer the question, please.
Rightio. Jump for minimum safe distance. Programmed in.
But just to add a 3-second safety margin, please, I told him. Fireball, start a countdown. Yes, sir. Her fingers flew over the console. Jumping in 43 minutes, 16 seconds. If anyone needs to hit the head, I looked around the bridge. This is a good time. Me first. Everyone was back at their stations with 20 minutes to spare. Sims quietly pointed to a new stain on my uniform that might have been from a jelly donut I hurriedly woofed down in a passageway. I can neither confirm nor deny such hurtful rumors. We were ready for any contingency. Since Bilby was now able to not only aim but also fire weapons, he had taken over authority as our PWO, or Primary Weapons Officer. Mamay and his team could still identify and prioritize targets, but the grunt work of actually looking in a firing solution and engaging missiles, railguns, and direct energy weapons could be handled by the ship's super-fast AI. Mamay agreed that Bilby getting around his restrictions was a major upgrade in our combat capability. But I think our weapons team was disappointed that someone got to blow shit up. As the last minutes counted down, I made sure that everyone understood what to do if we encountered a single ship, or a squadron, or even a full battle group of spider ships. Also, what if we encountered a ship from another species, like the Gerapta? Everyone listened to my instructions and acknowledged they understood. Like I said, we were prepared for every possible scenario. Or not. 3, 2, 1, jump. Fireball Reed announced softly, and the ship moved instantly from here to there. Everyone on the bridge waited while the sensors recovered from the spatial distortion of the jump.
We are good,
Skippy said with a bit more cheerfulness than his recent gloomy mood. No contacts. Do you want a Yankee search for stealth ships on this side of the event horizon?
No,
I waved my hands. No active sensor pings, please. The spiders will eventually figure out we came through this wormhole. There's no point making it easier for them, I explained. Besides, I figured our momentum would carry us through the wide-open wormhole in front of us before any stealth ship or ships could react. Except,
oh shit,
Skippy gasped. What the f... I froze in shock for a critical half second as the event horizon shrank to a glowing dot. A dot much smaller than our massive battlecruiser could fit through. On it, Reed acted without needing orders. Hang on. The ship jerked hard to the left, throwing us around like Star Trek actors, despite the artificial gravity compensating for the lateral motion. The momentum of the ship's mass was carrying us toward an object that was actually not there. It was a hole in space-time. A hole with impossibly sharp edges that could slice right through our energy shields and armor plating from bow to stern. I knew what Reed was attempting to do, push us sideways enough so we would miss the tiny event horizon. Unfortunately, attempting that maneuver was like trying to drift a bus. Lots of tire smoke and not enough movement. All I could do was hold my breath and not shout useless orders that would only distract her. It was going to be very close. Very. The display showed we cleared the edge of the event horizon with 60 meters to spare. It sure looked a lot closer than that. Oh my God. I covered my mouth with a hand. Reed, that was outstanding flying, thank you. Skippy, what the fuck was that?
Working on it. This network might be damaged more severely than I thought. Let me contact the network controller and... Oh, you have got to be kidding me.
What?
It is refusing passage to us.
It is what?
It can do that?
It says it is enforcing a safety protocol against a known security threat. I think it's just using that as an excuse to be a dick.
Holy... What does that mean?
It means the controller will not allow Valkyrie through any wormhole on its network.
Basically, Joe, his voice dropped to a whisper,
It means we are absolutely screwed.
Valkyrie's bridge was silent, not only due to shock over Skippy's declaration, but also because my crew is disciplined. They knew I had questions, and if I needed input from any of them, I would request it. Hold on. There is no reason to panic. Show me a map of wormholes in the area that are on different networks. It will take longer to get there, but you don't understand, Joe. He shook his head. The dots in red represent the near ends of the local network. The holographic display filled with dots, with the symbol for Valkyrie off to the left. There were a lot of those red dots. It was an extensive network that extended across thousands of light years in every direction. Now, these dots in blue are wormholes on other networks that overlap the near-end territory of the local network. Holy shit, I gasped again. What the... It doesn't work like that. It doesn't typically work like that. This is a particularly large and far-reaching network. That is one reason why the Rindaloo selected this section of the galaxy to keep for themselves. In fact, this network is the third largest in the galaxy in terms of the number of active wormholes. Give me the bad news, please. My eyes focused on the blue dot that was closest to Valkyrie. Skippy knew that in long-distance space travel, time mattered more than distance. It will take 7 weeks to reach the closest wormhole that is not on this network. 7 weeks? Yes, that includes downtime for preventative maintenance of critical systems. Plus, we will need to refuel, so add another 3 days to locate a likely location, extract the raw materials, and process it into usable fuel. Better make that 5 days minimum. Plus, add at least 1 day to divert off and back onto a straight line to that wormhole. 8 weeks? Unless my math is wrong. Let's see. 7 weeks plus one is... Don't be a smartass when you deliver bad news, Skippy. Well, you haven't heard the really bad news yet. We can't aim for the closest wormhole because it connects way across to the far side of Rindaloo territory, and that end itself is isolated. My suggestion is we shoot for this wormhole. Another blue dot began blinking even farther away. So far, he had to zoom out the display. The advantage here is that wormhole is actually a cluster of three on two separate networks, neither of which I have ever screwed with, so we should be safe. That does sound good. Well, give me the really bad news, please. 11 weeks travel time to get there. He shushed me. I know it doesn't appear to be much farther away, but the extra distance is enough to require a teardown of major jump drive components. We can't just conduct running repairs like we usually do. Bullshit, 11 weeks. We'll never make it. Yes, we will, Joe. The ship will be worn out, but it will hold together for... The ship will not hold together with half the spider fleet chasing us. Oh, good point. That is a complication. It is. We won't be able to fly in a straight line or the spiders will know exactly where we're going.
Hoo boy!
In that case, better add a second fuel stop.
Except, oops,
we only have enough consumables to process one load of fuel. Before you ask, no, I can't just fabricate the required equipment. We don't have the raw materials aboard.
Crap.
Looking around the bridge, I pointed to my senior staff. Sims, Smythe, Mamay, and Reed. I'm open to suggestions.
Sir?
Reed cleared her throat.
I suggest we jump away from here before we do anything else.
Jump option, your choice, Fireball. Punch it. We jumped, then jumped again, because our sensors detected a residual signature of a Rindaloo ship. Actually, three Rindaloo ships. After another jump, we detected active sensor pulses from 7 spider ships. Clearly, they were out in force, searching for us. I was going to order another jump, but Skippy recommended we engage stealth and remain at that location. He had analyzed the enemy search pattern, and they were slowly moving on after sweeping the area. If we waited 5 hours, he judged we would be clear to jump away without being traced. So I grudgingly consented to do nothing, which gave me more time to worry about our limited options. Good times.